we more than Volusia County. What a joy it is to be here and share the word of God with you. My wife and I wait for this time every year to come and be a part of Journey Through Christmas. We're excited about what God has already done. If you're glad for 4,500 people who came through and over 750 who received Christ, would you say amen?
Amen.
Last night in our room alone, there was about 100 that made public profession of faith. I never get used to that. I hope you never do. The gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please forgive my voice this morning. I may have swallowed a frog, and I think he crossed his legs. I'm not sure. But I'll do my best to get the word of God out. Please meet my wife. Some of you met her last year. Her name is Regina. I told you the word Regina means queen, and I married her so I could be a king. Amen. Honey, you stand, wave at the folks, and say hello. We are your neighbors living up in Summerfield, Florida, about an hour and 15 minutes from here. We are thrilled and say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you that have worked so hard during this time. I hope I can be a blessing to you this morning. My throat does not hurt, so don't feel sorry for me. But I am sorry that you have to put up with this. I hope you can understand what I'm saying. Take your Bible this morning, please, and turn with me to the book of James. The book of James, and go with me to chapter number 4. The book of James and chapter number 4. Thanks for all of you that participated in the music to get ready for the preaching of the Word of God. Would you stand out of respect for the Bible, and I'll read this passage of Scripture to you. James chapter 4. I'm starting my reading down, please, in verse number 13. Go to now, you that say today or tomorrow, we're going to such a city and contend there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. But that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this and that. We will live and do this and that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I call your attention to verse 14. There's a question. It's my title, text, and theme for the next few minutes. It says, what is your life? What is your life? Thank you very much. Be seated, please, and we'll pray together. Heavenly Father, we enter your gates with thanksgiving, your courts with praise. Bless you for who you are. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for so many that have already been saved. Now we come to this service. We pray the Holy Spirit of God will turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that nobody will leave this building this morning without an absolute certainty that they're on their way to heaven. And we'll give you praise, honor, and glory for what you're going to do in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible is a book about life. God teaches us about two kinds of life. He speaks to us about earthly life, how we got here, and speaks to us about eternal life, how to get from here into the kingdom of God. Now, if you believe your Bible, you know that all life has its source in God. The Bible starts Genesis 1:1 in the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Four times, two verses, created. That makes evolution absolute nonsense. I've said many times, I may have a few folks in my heritage who swung by their necks, but thank God I have none who swung by their tails. We were made in the image of a man who was made in the image of God. People want to talk to you about your life. They can't sell dead people anything. My wife and I have five grandchildren. How many of your grandparents would you wave at me this morning? We shop a lot for our grandchildren at Walmart. And you go in and you buy toys, and there's games there. Checkers, chess, trivia pursuit, a game called life. When you get your shopping cart and go to the different aisles, you'll find the word life on many products. There's the cereal aisle. There is Cheerios, Wheaties, and a cereal called life. There's the soap aisle. You'll find Zest and Coast and Lifebuoy. There's the soft drink aisle. They keep changing it. You've got a lot to live. Pepsi's got a lot to give. Here's what I always thought was cute. Coke adds life. That'd be interesting to prove, wouldn't it? Go down to the Undertaker, get Fred out of the cooler, pour a six-pack on him, see if he goes on. You say, preacher, don't you like soft drinks? I do. My father pastored a little country church in North Carolina. We had pastor, a fellow that was pious, but not spiritual. You know the difference. He was always picking a fight with my father verbally. Dad had a good sense of humor. One Sunday, he came to my father and said, sir, don't you think it's a sin to drink a Coke? My dad responded, it sure is, if you can ever get a Pepsi, amen. When you check out, there's a Life magazine, they're lifesavers. Sears says there's more for your life, it's Sears. Everybody wants to talk to you about your life. Did you hear the text this morning? It says, what is your life? What is your life? Let's look at it in these dimensions. Number one, what is the duration of your life? Sound man, would you do me a favor? Could you cut up the monitors for me? I think they're hearing, and I've heard the message before, but I want to hear it again. So if you'll turn these up, that will help me a whole lot. What's the duration of your life? The answer is given, it's a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I think you just turned them down, sir. I need them up on the monitors just as loud as you can get it for me. And I'll appreciate that so very much. What's the duration of your life? It's a vapor. The word vapor means it's just simply a breath. Sometimes in Florida, thank you fellows, that's great. Sometimes in Florida, it gets cold. You go outside, hot air out of your mouth condenses in the atmosphere. It's there and gone. What is God saying? Your life is just like that. It's very, very short. Genesis 47:9, Jacob said, the days of my pilgrimage have been 130 years. Few and evil have the days of my life been. What was he saying? Well, number one, you and I will never live to see 130 years. Number two, he was saying, as long as I've been here, it's just like a breath. It comes and goes. In 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3, when David was running from Saul, he said, as the Lord lives and my soul lives, there's one step between me and death. There's one heartbeat between us and eternity. Job 7:6-7, my days upon earth are swifter than a weaver shuttle. They're spent without hope. Oh, remember, my life is when. Job 14:1, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Psalm 89:48, oh, remember how short my time is. You say, preacher, I'm in good shape. I jog 3 times a week, work out on the alternate days, and I drink mineral water and take Shackley vitamins. That's wonderful. You may die a little more healthy than the rest of us. But you still have a date with the Undertaker. Life is very, very short. But he says, what is your life, not lives? That means it's not only short, but it is single. God's only going to give us one time through. Often I preach in India. They have a philosophy over there called reincarnation. Let me give you a one-word definition of reincarnation. Baloney. That's exactly what that is. They say you're going to keep coming back till you get your nirvana right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an impossibility. You're going to get one trip through life. 2 Samuel 12:23, when David's little boy died, he said, why then should I fast? Can I bring him back again? He said, no, but I'll go to him. He'll not return to me one time through. 2 Samuel 14:14, we must needs die. We're like water spilt upon the ground, which cannot be gathered again. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Every time your heart pumps in rest, it says to your mind, to die, to die, to die. And death is hot on your trail today. Death doesn't care your intellect, doesn't care how much money you have, doesn't care your pedigree. He's coming your way. It made no difference to death that he was the founder of Apple. Steve Jobs still died a multi-billionaire. Made no difference 20 years ago that Princess Diana was the most photographed woman in human history. She still went out into eternity. Made no difference that Neil Armstrong was the first man to walk on the moon. He still died. Made no difference Mr. Scalia was one of the longest judges on the Supreme Court. He died. He died. He died. Mr. Hugh Hefner thought he could stay a long while. But the playboy has a payday, and he died. And ladies and gentlemen, one of these days, we're all going to die. The duration of life is short, but there's a second question. Not only what is the duration, but what is the declaration of your life? Now, James has to rebuke the people here. He said, go to now you that say, you that declare, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city, we'll continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Did you hear what they said? They said, we will. We're going to go tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day will bring forth. We're going to stay for a year. Can you guarantee that? We're going to spy and sell and get gain. That's what they said in 2008 and 2009 when trillions of dollars were lost. Those people then are living exactly like most people today. Instead of exalting God, they're exempting God. They're not making their plans with God's approval. They're making their own plans to do what they want. And the Bible teaches that a person who does that is very, very foolish. There's two ways you can live life. You can invest it, he pays you. Or you can use it as an expenditure, and you have to pay for all eternity. When you study through your Bible, you'll read about a fellow in Luke chapter 12 who was very wealthy. He had all kinds of flocks and herds and a bumper crop that year. Did he praise God? No, he talked to himself. He said, I think I'm going to tear these barns down, and I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'll say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry. And in the middle of the conversation, God interrupted it. Here's what he said, thou fool. Now, if I called you a fool, you'd have every right to be mad at me. But if God calls a man a fool, we ought to ask why. Here was the answer. Today, this very day, sir, your soul will be required of you. You're going to die. Now look around and tell me, who will these things be? Let me tell you who a fool is according to the Bible. A fool prepares for this life, but he does not prepare for eternal life. Your life is short. Your life is single. You're going to declare, I will, or if he will. You're going to declare, I want to do what you want me to do, or I want to do what I want to do. Which way are you living? The Apostle Paul, completely different. He said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. He said to die is gain. He said, I want to think of Christ, talk of Christ, thrill in Christ, toil for Christ. And then when I die, the word gain means interest paid on money. He said, my life will be beneficial and I will rejoice because of the rewards I will receive in heaven. How are you living your life? Here we're coming to the end of 2017. Hard to believe, isn't it? Now I want you to go back over the last 12 months of your life and ask this question. Did you invest your life or did you just spend it? If you invest your life, there's two things a Christian will do. One, you'll pour your life in the lives of others so they can be saved by the grace of God. Who's going to heaven because of you? Number two, you'll pour your life into believers so they can be discipled, walk with God, and grow in grace. Who's here this morning because you discipled them? You invested in their lives. There's only one life. It'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So how then, if we're going to live for Christ, should we live? Luke 22:27, Jesus said, I'm among you as he that serves. A servant sacrifices himself for the success of somebody else. Who has been successful for Jesus Christ this year because of you? Psalm 2:11 says, serve the Lord with fear. It doesn't mean this, it means this, total allegiance. Psalm 100 verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad for that opportunity today? In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel's an 80 plus year old man in Babylon. The Bible speaks and the king says, the God Daniel you serve continually, he will deliver you. What do the people you work with think of your God? Do they even know you have one? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters. He'll hate one, love the other, hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, an Aramaic term for money. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you can serve Jesus with your money. But you cannot serve Jesus and your money. Sitting here today are two kinds of Christians, if indeed you're saved. There are committed Christians, and there are carnal Christians, and there's nothing in the middle. But preacher, I'm not really committed or carnal. No, Jesus said no man can save two. He didn't say three. Let me illustrate. Suppose this morning, sitting in this auditorium, we have a man who's not yet saved. He hears the gospel as I will preach it today, and he walks away and does not receive Christ. This afternoon, about 2 o'clock, he drops dead. Now, would you say, well, he came to church, he heard the gospel, I'm sure God understands, but there's only two kinds of sinners. There are saved and lost. That's all there is. There's only two kinds of Christians. There's the committed Christian. There is the carnal Christian. Some years ago, I was preaching in Wisconsin. The pastor took me to eat. He said, I want to tell you a story. It happened in my little country church. He said, on Sunday night, the richest man in town came, high-flying lawyer. Drove his town car in. And when he came in, he asked if he could give a testimony. I listened to it and I said, sir, please give that testimony. He said he stood in front of our people and said, you know me, but you don't know what happened to me. He said, recently I had a heart attack. I had 5 bypasses and God got my attention. You know, you may not be paying attention today, but God can get your attention and put you in a hospital bed. He said, after surgery, when I awoke, the first thought that came to my mind is I'm not ready to meet God. He said, I laid there and I said, I'm not ready to meet God. The book of Amos says, prepare to meet thy God. Everybody here today has a date with Almighty God. He said, and a boy, I heard the gospel. He said, laying on that gurney, I bowed my head, opened my heart, received Jesus Christ. He said, ladies and gentlemen, God has changed my life. The pastor said, was he ever changed? He said, instead of hoarding his resources, he gave them. He told everybody what happened to him. And shortly after he got out of the hospital, he dropped dead. All God got out of his life was 3 weeks. If you died today, how much of your life would count for eternity? What's the duration of your life? What's the declaration of your life? And finally this morning, what's the destination of your life? If you are indeed going to die, and you're going to, your soul is going to depart your body, where will it go? Take your Bible as I close this message this morning and go to Matthew chapter number 7. Gospel of Matthew chapter number 7. Please listen carefully to this passage of Scripture. The two verses that I'll read are 7 verses 13 and 14. Chapter 7, 13 and 14. Here's the Word of God. Get it. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. And few there be that find it. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the words of Jesus. He said there are two gates, there are two roads, there's two destinies of man. There is a heaven. Jesus is inviting you today to enter that gate and live with him for eternity. There is a hell. It's a broad road. The majority of people are on it. But there's a sudden stop called death and an eternity away from God instead of with him. Now somebody said, preacher, I was born going to heaven. No. Jesus said, enter the gate. You say, well, I've always believed. No, Jesus said, enter the gate. You say, preacher, I'm doing the best I can. No, Jesus said, enter the gate. Therefore, there has to be a time and a place when you recognize you're on the wrong road, heading for damnation away from God, and you turn and come to Jesus Christ. Good news, this is the time. This is the place. It happened to hundreds of people over the last few nights. Now stop and think about this road. The Bible says this road leads to destruction. Somebody said, preacher, do you believe there's a real hell? May I quote for you the words of Jesus, Luke chapter 16, verse 23. He said, the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now watch. His body died, it was buried, but his soul literally went to a place called hell. He lifted up his eyes being in torments. He seeth Abraham afar off. He said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented, tortured in this flame. Abraham said, son, remember. You know what we learn from that passage? Hell's a real place. It has real people experiencing real pain. It is not a temporary, but an eternal abode of the wicked. Now, God today is telling you his heart. He wants you to get on the straight road. He wants you to come to him. He loves you, and that's what Christmas is all about. Almost 2,000 years ago, God Almighty, in a human body, born of a virgin with no human father, so he came absolutely sinless. He lived sinless and did not die for his sin, but he died for our sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But if you stay on this road and you do not turn around and you enter the straight gate, then you must spend an eternity not with God, but away from God. A person said to me one day, do you believe that hell has literal fire? Let me quote Jesus again. Mark 9:43, he said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. It'd be better for you to go into life than having two hands to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. He said, if your foot offends you, cut it off. It'd be better for you to go halt into life than to have 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. He said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. It'd be better for you to go in the kingdom of heaven with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Do you know when Jesus was preaching that, out of a heart of love, he was pleading with religious people to get off of this road. Some of you are on the road of religion, but you're still going to hell. Some of you are on the road of rebellion, but you're still going to hell. Jesus lovingly is saying, enter the straight gate. Can you imagine having to spend eternity in the regions of the damned? Many of you remember 9/11. 16 days after that tragedy, we went to New York for a one-night crusade. I went to Ground Zero and saw with my eyes what many of you never saw. What you saw on television was nothing compared to what I saw in person. I stood and wept. I said to Inspector Quinn of the 92nd Precinct, it's been 16 days since these buildings came down. I see fire trucks everywhere. Why? He said every time we move the rubble, the air ignites that little smoldering embers and the flames are raging. I said to some of the people, does anybody have any idea when the Twin Towers came down, what was the height and what was the degree of the temperature? I got estimates of 12,000 to 14,000 degrees. Your mind and my mind does not even conceive that. You do realize that many, many people jumped from those towers. They knew full well when they hit the concrete below they would die. Why did they jump? They were not sitting in a nice air-conditioned building on Sunday morning saying, I don't believe any of this. They were surrounded by fire. They knew they would die, but they did not want to burn. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand there's no trap door in hell? There's no second chance. Today is the day of salvation. You say, well, I've been taught, preacher, that one day, if you're not good enough to go to heaven and bad enough to go to hell, you'll go to purgatory. May I lovingly tell you this, there is no purgatory. There never has been, there never will be. I've been in 54 different nations preaching the word of God. I've offered $1 million, as I will this morning, to anybody that can produce one verse, just one, that proves a literal place called purgatory where you go when you die. You stay for a period of time, you get your sins purged, and you come out. In all these years of preaching, not one single person has ever come. Dear friend, there is no purgatory. There's a heaven, and there is a hell. When you and I are born, we're born in sin. Galatians 3 and verse 22, the scriptures conclude all under sin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, separation from God. But I have good news for you this morning. Without joining anything, without giving one dime, and without becoming a Baptist, you can get off this road and on this road. How do you do that? Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. Now, the word repent in Mark 1:14 is not penance. That's what you pay. The word repent means to change your mind. Say, have you ever trusted baby baptism? Did you know there's no baby in the entire Bible who ever got baptized to go to heaven and you didn't either change your mind? Have you ever trusted communion or confirmation? Did you know there's no teaching in the Bible that either confirmation or communion will save you? You need to change your mind. Have you ever trusted some work that you've done? Titus 3:5 says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Now, good friend, it's my responsibility to tell everybody in this building this morning, except you repent, you'll perish. You cannot change your life. God does that. But you can change your mind. Now, he connected with that, repent and believe. Now, he wasn't just talking about an intellectual belief. The word believe means to put your total confidence in, to rest all of your assurance on. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, first you must believe who He is. John 10:30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus. If you do not come to Jesus as God and the only God, you cannot be saved because He has no competitors. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, please don't miss this. You're listening so well. When you come to Him, you must come for who He is, and you must come for what He did for you. Let me show you two approaches to Jesus. There's an intellectual approach. I agree that Jesus died and was buried and raised again. Good friend, Satan and every demon believe that. And that is not how you're saved. That is a historical fact. You don't need just a historical Jesus. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. What's the difference? I believe that I'm a sinner for whom Jesus died. I believe that Jesus Christ loves me. I believe that Jesus Christ, as God, died for my sin, shed His blood for my sin, was buried for my sin, and raised again to justify me. Could I ask you all across this auditorium, do you have a historical Jesus? Or do you have a personal relationship with the Son of God? You do not want to wake up doomed and damned away from God because you knew some facts. You want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's been a time that you got off of this road and you got on this road and you are heading straight for heaven, not because of what you do for Jesus, but because of what Jesus has done for you. Now, would you give yourself your testimony this morning? Let's put it like a frame. Side one, when did you enter the straight gate? Side two, where were you? At home, at church, Bible school, Sunday school, where were you? Side three, who introduced you to Jesus Christ? Pastor, friend, parent. Side four, what Bible reason guarantees you that you're on your way to heaven? Now, friend, if you're sitting here this morning and trying to draw that picture, you came up with a question mark. Good news. December 17th, 2017 is your day to get off of this road, get on this road by faith, and leave this building this morning without one doubt in your mind that you belong to Jesus Christ. Have you ever entered the straight gate? Stop trusting baptism, confirmation, and catechism. Stop trusting any work you've ever done. Put all of your faith and focus in Jesus Christ and Him alone. I was preaching in North Carolina. Between Sunday school and church, a man walked up. He said, Dr. Farrell, do you remember me? And I said, Larry, I have not seen you in years, but I sure do remember you. He said, do you remember when I got saved? Larry was a deacon in an independent fundamental Baptist church, but he was not saved. He came to see the pastor and me, and he said to the pastor, Pastor, I need to get saved. The pastor said, Larry, you were a deacon before I ever came here. He said, yes. But what you don't know is, Pastor, I quit being a Lutheran and became a Baptist, but I never got born again. It is not your denomination. It's your destination that makes a difference. Have you ever gotten off this road and onto this road? Today is your day. This is the time and place. I was preaching in a southern city. We'd had a wonderful meeting. It was Friday night. I was going to be there through the following Sunday. On Friday night, a pastor friend of mine came. He came back Saturday night. On Saturday night, he said, do me a favor. I said, what's that? He said, you and the pastor wait. I've got to go and take my wife home. I've got to come back. I need to talk to you. When he walked in, he sat down and he said, Dr. Farrell, I came back tonight because I need to get saved. And I looked at this independent Baptist preacher and I said, sir, I don't understand. Two times I've been in the church you've pastored. What do you mean you need to get saved? He said, a number of years ago, my wife and I attended this church. She got under conviction and wanted to get on the right road. We went over to the pastor's house. He began to witness to her, but he thought I was okay. I want to say to you soul winners, don't ever assume anybody's okay. He said, while he was witnessing to my wife, pride welled up inside of me. I said, the preacher doesn't know, I won't tell him. He said, she got saved, but I didn't. The next Sunday we both got baptized, she was saved, I was lost. Within 6 months we were both teaching Sunday school, she was saved and I was lost. He said, I even took some correspondence and did a couple of semesters in a Bible college, and I pastored for years, but I cried myself to sleep because I did not know I was going to heaven. He said, I did not come to get assurance. I did not come to rededicate my life. He said, I came to sit down and tell you men, I need to receive Jesus Christ. He got born again that night. He said, would you do me a favor? Go home with me. I'm going to tell my wife. I stood and looked at his wife as he said, now, darling, you now have a saved Baptist preacher for a husband. The next morning, he got up and preached. I preached in the same church I was in. That afternoon, his wife called me. She said, I have never in my life heard my husband preach like he preached this morning. Well, Pastor, it does help to have the Holy Spirit. It really does. At the end of the service, he said, now, congregation, I want to tell you something. Last night, your pastor got saved. Now, many of you are thinking, probably rededicate, re-again dedicate. You can't rededicate what never got converted. Some of you are talking about assurance. You'll never get assurance for something that didn't happen. He said, I want you to know I got saved by the grace of God. About that time, the pianist got up, came to the front. She looked at her pastor and said, if you'll be that honest, so will I. She said, all I am is a church member, but I have never been on the right road. I've got to ask you today, as I look you in the face, when did you get off this road? When did you get on this road? If you just said, I don't know, oh, my friend, today is your day. This is the time and this is the place. Sitting in your seat in just a moment, I'm going to help you get off of that road and get onto this road. And when you walk out of here today for the first time in your life, you'd be positive you're going to heaven. Each time that I spoke on Friday and Saturday night, I used an illustration I want to close with. The Bible talks about life, and there is a book called the Book of Life. Now, this is the celebration hymnal. But today it's going to be the Book of Life. The Bible says, whoever's not found written in the Book of Life is cast in the lake of fire. So it makes no difference what you say. The difference is, what does God say? This is the registration. Now imagine that the back door opens. Down the center aisle comes Jesus Christ. When he comes, we'll all kneel. Now he says, be seated. I'll go and sit next to my wife. I'm not better than anybody in this building. He said, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Book of Life, and I'm going to read publicly the names of everybody here who's going to my heaven. Now, when I call your name, you stand. Because you belong to me, I'm going to take you to heaven. But if I do not call your name, and you're still sitting when I'm finished, you will not go to heaven. Instead, you will have to go to hell. Because your name wasn't in the Book of Life. Name number one is called. Maybe an older man raises and stands and he says, thank you, Jesus. Name number two, possibly a recently saved teenager. You hear him say, thank you, Jesus. You prayed something, but your name's not in the Book of Life. You made a profession, but you had no possession. You actually sat in a service like today and said, I just don't agree with that preacher, but you don't hear your name. People are standing, you're still sitting. Finally, the last name is called, the Book of Life is closed. Would you answer this question? Can you prove from this book that your name is in the Book of Life? If you just said no or I don't know, It's time to get off that road and get on this road and get your name in the book of life and walk out of this building this morning and be certain you're on your way to heaven. What is your life? Let's bow our heads to pray. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach. Now, I pray that every person in this auditorium will be totally honest about where they stand before you. As we're bowed before the Lord, thank you for coming and listening. Thank you for making your way to this place today. Now, would you be as honest with me as I've been with you? I want you to answer the question, am I on the right road? When was the time and the place I realized I was heading for hell? I changed my mind and put my total faith in Christ. I personally received Him, and now I know my name is in the book of life. Now, my friend, if you do not know that, let me assure you, you'll never be embarrassed today. You're among friends, and we love you. If you do not know that, please don't say that you do. The only person that could get hurt in that situation is you. But if you could say today, preacher, I can take you back to the time and the place I got off the wrong road. I don't think or hope or wish. I'm absolutely certain I have been saved. My name is in the book of life. And if I died today, I can prove from my Bible that I'm on my way to heaven. Now, friend, if you don't know that, please don't say that you do. But if you can say, preacher, I'm certain I'm on the right road. I'm certain I've been saved God's way. I'm certain my name is in the book of life. I can prove that from my Bible. If and only if that's true about you and you can prove it from your Bible, would you raise your hand as a testimony? Do not raise it unless you're certain. Thank you. Take it down. Now, friend, if you did not raise your hand, can I tell you God loves you like you are? But He loves you too much to let you stay like you are. It's December the 17th, 2017. Today is your day to get off the wrong road. Today is your day to get on the right road. Not by joining the church or being baptism or giving any money, but by choosing to say no to sin and yes to God's Son. Now, I'm speaking to everybody in this building who could not raise your hand. Would you today get off the wrong road, get on the right road? Would you receive the free gift of eternal life? You say, preacher, I want to do that. I want to help you. I'm going to ask every one of you who could not raise your hand in just a moment to pray after me to Jesus Christ. Now, the word pray means to ask. Your prayer will not save you. No prayer ever has. But if you will pray after me today, you will be asking Jesus Christ to enter your life, take away your sin, and put you on the right road. I'll pray a phrase and pause. You pray it from your heart silently. I'll pray another phrase and pause. You pray it from your heart silently. And if you'll pray this and mean this right now, right where you are, God's going to enter your life, take away your sin, put your name in the book of life, and when you leave here, you'll be on the right road. And for the first time in your life, you can know for sure you're going to heaven. If you couldn't raise your hand, if you're not sure your name is in the book of life, please pray silently and sincerely after me from your heart to God's heart this simple prayer. Here it is. Pray it silently by faith to Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a hell-deserving sinner. Nothing I've ever done or can do will save me. Today, December 17, 2017, I repent of my sin. I put all of my confidence in you, Jesus. I receive your righteousness and the gift of eternal life. I'm now on the right road. You said you put my name in the book of life. Thank you. And Jesus, help me to never be ashamed for what you just did for me. Now we're bowed before the Lord. Did you pray that this morning? Remember, it's not the prayer that saves you, it's Jesus. But I can tell you that if you called upon the name of the Lord, Jesus said you got saved. If you went to the right road, Jesus said you got saved. And here's what he said. He that believeth on me shall not be ashamed. Many people raised their hands a moment ago. They were not ashamed. You could not then. But in just a moment, you can. And when you raise your hand and I see it, I'll say thank you. I'll not name you. I do not know you. I'm from out of town. But I will say thank you. And I'll know today you made the wisest decision you've ever made. You're on the right road. And I'll do anything and everything I can to be a help to you. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you prayed with me today that simple prayer and asked God to come in your life, if you this morning opened your heart and you prayed with me and you asked God to come in your life, you're not ashamed and you're not embarrassed. If you prayed with me this morning that simple prayer and you're glad that you did, right now please raise your hand with mine. Just hold them straight up across this building. I pray that. Just hold them straight up. I'm seeing many of you this morning. Just hold them straight up. I'm looking for you. Thank you so very, very much. You may take your hands down. That's wonderful. Now, if you've already raised your hand, I have seen it. But if you prayed with me and did not raise your hand, would you raise it right now? Anybody else, just hold it up. Thank you so much. I do not want to miss anybody in this building. This is such a vital and important moment. Thank you so much. I'm still looking because people are still raising their hand. Is there anybody else? I prayed that. Thank you so much. Yes, and I see you over there. I do not want to miss you. Is anybody else along with these? You raise your hand. I'll see it. I'll say thank you. I'm going to pray for you. Last call. Anybody else? Would you lift your hand right now? Anybody else? May we stand to our feet, please, with our heads bowed. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you today for every one of these people who said yes to you. As we sing a verse of Just As I Am, I pray that all of these people will give glory to God because they're on the right road. And I know that the Bible says heaven will rejoice because of that. Now we're bowed before the Lord. I only want to speak this morning to those of you who prayed with me and then raised your hand. I do not want to speak to anybody else. Wherever you're sitting in this building, whoever you are, if you prayed with me a moment ago, you asked God to come in your life and you raised your hand. If you prayed with me a moment ago and raised your hand, right now, please, look up at me. Just look straight up at me from all across this building. I want to look at every one of you, and I want to say, if today you meant what you prayed, your sins are gone. Your name is in the book of life, and the Bible says you're on your way to heaven. That's a wonderful truth. Now, if you're looking at me today and you receive Jesus, you know this. When Jesus died, he didn't hide. He died publicly. Jesus is not asking you to die. You received his gift. In a moment, I'm going to come and stand down here. Nobody is joining the church. Nobody's being baptized. There's no offering taken. But when Jesus died, he was not embarrassed to take his stand for you. And I'm convinced of this. If you meant what you prayed, you're not ashamed of him. When I come and stand, I'm going to ask every one of you that is looking at me to leave your seat. When you come, we're going to say, welcome to God's family. We're going to pray with you and put free information in your hand and say good day to you. And when you walk out, you'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're on your way to heaven. And all of heaven will be celebrating for you. If you're looking at me, you prepare to come. This is your day. This is your moment. Play the first chord of Just As I Am. If your head is bowed, help me sing Just As I Am. If you're looking at me, I want you to leave your seat right now just as quickly as you can. And you come.